What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
So when you don't do something for a little while, you get out of sync, right? So Vic and I haven't done this in a little bit. Not that it's been weeks, but it seems like weeks. Because the last time we convened on a Pucks and Seven, we wrapped up Stanley Cup Final, wrapped up the season essentially, and it was all done. But then, as they say, the silly season kind of started. You got free agency coming up, the draft coming up, the NHL awards, and the Hockey Hall of Fame, which we'll get to in a second. But I totally forgot how to load this program this morning.
But we're back. We are.
For now. We are. Pucks and Seven, a couple more to go before the season's done, because there's still a lot to get into in the next week and a half or so through July, and then it gets kind of quiet after that. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash, and you can hear Vic on a major news talk station in Toronto, ESPN.com as well. Great hockey stuff and other things with ESPN.com. I cover the Kraken for the Hockey Writers, and also SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, Channel 91. A couple of hot stoves left. And our final, shameless plug, our final one is going to be in the 2 weeks, July 1, 6 to 9 Eastern at night, just to recap the whole day of free agency. Anyway, into this pod we go. Next segment, we're going to talk about some of the off-ice news, the Flames, the Jets, Vancouver. The whole pride thing, too, with the jerseys, and we'll dive into that specifically. That raised a lot of eyebrows this week. But let's begin with the Hockey Hall of Fame, Vic. And anytime this happens in any sport, baseball, football, whatever it is, Canton, Cooperstown, Toronto, to me, it's always, okay, the people get in, but who are the ones that don't get in? And sometimes, a lot of time, I think that is more of a discussion than actually the ones that do get in.
I think the Henrik Lundqvist nomination was the most obvious. I think we all knew that was going to happen. But I will say this. I thought Caroline Ouellet was also going to be an obvious pick this year. The rest of them, I would say I was a little bit caught by surprise. I'm not in a position to question them in particular, but I was surprised.
Right.
Tom Barrasso, okay, again, I was reminded about how dominant he was with the Penguins for those years.
Right. And he was not embarrassing in a Penguins uniform.
No, he was not. But I kind of forgot about the guy a little bit.
Yes.
But I thought, okay, sure, that makes sense. And then Pierre Turgeon, okay, the numbers there, the numbers speak for themselves. A lot of people said he wasn't that, electric of a player, but he has more than 1,300 points. So obviously he did something right with a bunch of different teams as well.
Right.
So I thought, okay, that's fine. The Mike Vernon one, I don't get. I just don't get. I mean, it's fine. And I know two Stanley Cups with two different teams, one Conn Smythe. That's it. You look at his personal numbers. And I know it was a different era.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know the players were filling the net back then. Yeah. And it was a different game. But I still look at him. I was talking to Mick Kern earlier this week on your network where you're on all the time. And he was saying the same thing. Does this open the door to Chris Osgood? I mean, is now Curtis Joseph a slam dunk? Because I would argue that Curtis Joseph deserves to be there before Mike Vernon.
That's what makes me very upset. And we'll get to someone else who was snubbed in a bit. But what makes me so annoyed is that I'm with you with the Mike Vernon thing. Chris Osgood, I don't understand why he's not in. He won three cups. He won three cups. Yeah, he played behind a good team, but he won three cups. And Curtis Joseph never won a cup, but he has a ton of wins. He has more wins than some of the guys in the Hall of Fame at this present time. So what is the criteria? Is it a cup? Is it a Vezina? And let's not forget, this is the Hockey Hall of Fame. For Lundqvist to go in, right, he didn't just do it in the end. The guy didn't win a cup, but he won a ton of games. He was a late draft pick, seventh round. It was incredible how many guys went before him.
He won with Sweden.
He won internationally. Yeah. So it's the Hockey Hall of Fame. So I'm with you. The Mike Vernon thing, I didn't quite get that one either. But Tom Brady, you mentioned Tom Brady. I forgot that at 18, he came from high school into the NHL. He jumped from high school to the National Hockey League. That's ridiculous.
It's something you see in the NBA all the time, but you don't really hear about it. It doesn't happen in the NHL at all. And I'm fine. I just wonder, what are we opening the door? And then what is the criteria? And I understand it's a very small committee that votes on this. I've read how they do it. Okay. even Mike Vernon himself, who I'm going to say, and I'm not going to say with all due respect, because that just is, he's a very good goaltender.
Yeah.
He's a great goaltender and he's a championship winning goaltender. And that's fine. And Mike Vernon is not going to lose any sleep over the fact that Victoria Matiash is questioning his selection. But he said himself when Lanny McDonald called him, he thought he was calling him to set up a golf game.
Right.
He wasn't even expecting it.
So what is it?
So, Mike Vernon doesn't understand why he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. So next year we've got Ryan Miller. So we're just talking about goaltenders right now.
Okay,
Curtis Joseph is still, he can still get in. So then what are we, and now Chris Osgood is still floating about. So then what are we doing? Are we just going to start to ram through goaltenders left, right, and center? Because I just find it very interesting how that door has been opened up. And I will say this, and I know you're on board with me too. I thought Henrik Zetterberg was going to get in, to be perfectly honest. And I think he is going to get in.
He will.
I think he is going to get in. Yeah. But I mean, he can't go in next year because Pavel Datsyuk is eligible next year.
Oh,
Pavel
Datsyuk
is a first ballot.
He has
there's
to
no
go in.
Question.
No.
There's no. He's one of those elegant players of all time. And so there's no question. So they can't put in Hank and Pavel Datsyuk
right.
the same time. They just can't.
Right. And you need to put Pavel in his own like magician corner of the Hall of Fame because just the magician, the magic with that puck. The builders category too. One of the criteria was, you know, however many retired male, female players. And then if you do two builders or one builder, one retired official, all that. So they did two builders. Ken Hitchcock, tremendous career. And also Pierre Lacroix, the late Pierre Lacroix, passed away when COVID hit, the former architect of the Colorado Avalanche. And it's always emotional, of course, when you lose a family member and when you continue on with that. And when you get the phone call from the committee in the Hockey Hall of Fame, like his wife did, Coco, on Wednesday, it's very emotional. And here in part is that conversation.
I know this is a very emotional time. I have to say we are absolutely honored to look forward to hosting you and your family in November here at the Hockey Hall of Fame, and so richly deserved, Coco.
Oh, thank you so much. I have no idea. It's a dream come true for us. You know, I never thought that thing would happen. He wanted this so bad. So thank you very much.
So did the floodgates open for you?
Jeez, I mean, it really brings, I can't help but well up. I don't think anybody can. Uh-huh. It's always a little bit sad. It's beautiful.
Right.
And it's lovely and it's wonderful. But I always think just how much it would mean more to the whole entire family if he was still around. And he did. He died tragically. He died from COVID complications.
Yeah,
so it's not like he had had cancer for 4 years or this was some sort of expected thing. It was a tragic loss, but it's still beautiful in a way. Obviously, his family is going to enjoy it. And they said, they're saying themselves that this is unexpected. They weren't expecting it either. So it's obviously going to be a very emotional and beautiful moment when he is inducted in November, whenever the date is.
I remember him, and I mean, the Avalanche back then were a fantastic hockey team. Some of the guys on the team, Adam Foote, and I'm looking at this, Adam Foote, Peter Forsberg, Valerie Kamiansky, Joe Sakic, Chris Simon, and then in December 95, that massive deal with Montreal after Patrick Roy got lit up against Detroit. He said, I'm not playing another game here in Montreal. Patrick Roy, Mike Keane from the Avalanche for a bunch after that. And then they would move on and they would be successful. Then he orchestrated the deal to get Ray Bourque and Dave Andrechuk. He had Adam Deadmarsh, Aaron Miller, Rob Blake. So many players came and went through that and they were so successful. Colorado, to me, I don't know if you know this, but Colorado, one of my favorite teams during that time, just to watch them play.
Is that because they were ex-Nordic, or you just like the teams themselves?
Ex-Nordic, and also I was a massive fan of Joe Sakic. Always enjoyed watching him play, so wherever he went to. And they also had Teemu Selanne and Paul Kariya play on that team at some point, so everybody on that team. Anyway, good on Pierre Lacroix, and that is the 2023 induction players and builders and
class
people
of 2023.
Yeah. So what about 2024? You talked about Datsyuk, slam dunk. Others on the list, notables for me, Pekka Rinne, Patrick Marleau, there's Ryan Miller, Mikko Koivu, Ilya Kovalchuk is on the list, which I don't see that.
You don't see him getting in?
No.
I don't think he gets in first ballot. I think he's going to get in eventually.
Okay.
Just what he's done on the international stage and just his longevity and all the rest of it. And what a fantastic player he was. But he's not going to be in first. But when you're looking at Pekka Rinne, again, Pekka Rinne, Ryan Miller, Curtis Joseph is still eligible. The goalie conversation is going to be heated for quite some time.
It's getting big.
I mean, I think Pavel Datsyuk is the absolute slam dunk. I think everybody else is now going to be up for conversation. I think from the women's side, Jennifer Botterill has to go in next year because I wanted her to go in this year. I don't understand this restraint with not filling the two positions. They're just two men. There's a lot of women who qualify out there. There are so few in the Hockey Hall of Fame who deserve to be there. I can make an argument for 5 or 6 players right now to go in right this second.
Absolutely.
So I'd like them to start filling the two positions. That's an argument for another day. I think Jennifer Botterill goes in next year. And honestly, Ryan, I know you and I are on the same page here. They've got to get Alexander McGillney in there. They have to. This is so overdue. I really thought it might happen this year.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. He was a player of a generation. I'm not even, if you even want to get into the fact that he was the first to defect from the former USSR, he opened the door for so many other players to do that.
Sure,
this was not a safe decision to make. It was very dangerous at the time. And he paved the way from our game to grow into something much larger and much more globally inclusive than it ever was before then. And he was one of the most fantastic skaters in history. Just watching him, he didn't have to know a thing about hockey. And if you watched him play, you would say, that guy is special. And he has the numbers to back it up as well.
He does. He played more games than Paul Kariya, scored 71 more goals than Paul Kariya. He won a cup. Paul Kariya didn't win a cup. He won at the junior level, won at the world championship level, won at the international, and Paul Kariya is in the Hall of Fame.
And we're not knocking Paul Kariya as one of
not
my favorite
at all.
Hockey players.
Not at all. No.
But you're right. You're setting a yardstick for us to compare.
So if you have him, if you have him in who has less on the resume, then why isn't McGillney in who has more on the resume? And this also gets me going. You know how in baseball, I don't know if it. Well, you have to get 75 votes or 75% of the votes, right? I think in this.
There's a formula to it, and that's about right. Yes.
So in baseball, year one, we got 43%. Then year two, up to 48. It's getting close. 50. Okay, maybe he'll get in 2 years. To me, if I was whoever that was, even McGillney, what makes it then say 2-3 years from now he gets in? Why did they decide 3 years from now, and why didn't they decide 3 years ago? What changed? That's what I don't understand. If he gets in, what then changed? Was the class just not as intriguing? Which I think is ridiculous. It doesn't matter. If you want to include people like this, increase the amount of individuals that you get in per year then. It just doesn't make any sense. Why would you do it, say, in 2026 when you didn't do it in 2023? Nothing's changed. He's not putting up any points. He's retired. He's not playing.
He's stopped playing a while ago.
He's not playing hockey. Like, does he have to come out of retirement and play? I don't understand. I don't understand that mentality.
Well, you're bringing up an excellent point, and that's the lack of transparency with the Hockey Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
With other Hall of Fames, we hear more about the process and who did what and where was the support.
And we have
where
no
was
idea.
It the support? And we have absolutely no idea. Did he come close? Or is this never going to happen?
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit strange. He's my big miss. I want him in next year. I'd like to see Henrik Zetterberg get in. But I don't think it's going to be next year, but eventually. And Jennifer Botterill. Those are the ones that I'd like to see next year.
I'm in agreement with you. So many great, great players, women and men, and builders too. Anyway, congrats to the 2023 induction group going into the Hockey Hall of Fame and that award ceremony coming up in November. Speaking of awards, NHL awards at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville on June 26th, which is Monday. 12 awards will be given out, the GM of the Year winner being announced at the draft on June 28th. So 11 awards on the NHL awards, and the GM of the Year will be announced on the draft. That Connor Bedard.
I heard he's good.
Yeah, he is. So look, you look at the three, I always think there should be five finalists. I don't think there should be three. I think there should be five in each category because the NHL is comprised of so many great players. Any upsets that you see possibly could happen?
Okay. Short answer, no.
Yeah.
I will make one argument. The fact that Vegas houses aren't even taking bets on any of them anymore.
Right.
Like you can't. Just because no. It is all late. It's going to be Matty Beniers for the Calder. It's going to be Erik Karlsson for the Norris. It's going to be Linus Ullmark for the Vezina. And Connor Bedard is going to win everything. Connor Bedard.
You know,
Victoria.
What? There's
you
two Connors.
In my head.
You're going to have two Connors next year now.
He might eventually, but not this year. Let's not fast track it quite yet.
Yeah.
And McDavid is going to win everything that he's nominated for. So there's going to be there's no real discussion. And the only one I would say there's a light possibility is the Jack Adams. And you're going to hear my argument here, because if you decide to give GM of the Year to Don Sweeney in Boston, because of what he's accomplished, then you're making the argument that he laid out the team to win that number of games, break records, and mm-hmm. have the most incredible season in history, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then why would you argue that Jim Montgomery should be coach of the year if he already has all the pieces in play?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know how you can win both. If you've got the best GM in the game, then how can you also be the best coach in the game? Because you've been given all the tools to win. And then I would say Dave Hextall in Seattle deserves it. That's my argument.
Completely. And I think I may have talked to you about this a few weeks ago when we were looking at the nominees for the awards. It's great that Jim Montgomery coached Boston to the best season ever in the history of the NHL.
And I think he did a damn good job.
Sure he did. Absolutely.
Yes.
You can argue that a lot of people could coach that team because Boston was so good. But then the other part of the argument is you need to be a good coach to make sure they all play within the system and play within themselves and
of course,
that type of thing. Jim Montgomery, I never, ever believe, unless you turn Boston around for like the Devils did this season or like the Seattle Kraken did this season, I'm never one to give the best team in the NHL their coach the coach of the year if the team has been pretty good. Boston's been good. Seattle turned their season around. Lindy Ruff and the Devils did the same. They had fire Lindy chance, and then all of a sudden they turned things around. So I don't think Jim Montgomery should get it. I think he probably will.
Yeah.
I'm with Dave Hextall. I think he's done a great job. The whole team, Ron Francis, all that type of thing. I'm with Dave Hextall.
If you're going to congratulate Don Sweeney on extending Pasternak, enticing David Krejci to come back to the team, which was a key move, extending Bergeron, which was a key move, and these are all the key moves that brought the Bruins so much success this season. If you're going to congratulate him and award him for that, then I just think it takes something away from the coach as well. And that doesn't take a ton away from the coach. Like you just said, Montgomery did a bang-up job. But I just think with what he had to work with, Dave Hextall should get his flowers, as the kids say these days. You know, I think he deserves it. I don't think, I'm with you. It's not going to happen, but it should.
I'll say one thing about Ullmark. He's going to win the Vezina, as you said. But again, Connor Hellebuck is also a finalist. Would the Jets have been where they were without him? Ilya Sorokin is a finalist. Would the Islanders be where they were without him?
No.
I think,
absolutely not.
You could put Jeremy Swayman in, and Ullmark did the great stuff in Boston. So that, again, you're behind a really good hockey team. But would if Ullmark didn't play, would Boston still be there in the end? Probably wouldn't have the most points ever, but they're still a better team than Winnipeg and the Islanders.
His numbers were just too good, though, Ryan.
I know.
I know. It's the same thing with Erik Karlsson. Was he the best defender in the NHL last year? No, he was not. He scored over 100 points.
Yeah.
Like, what can you do?
Numbers are sexy, right?
Very sexy.
Yeah, they are. Going to be interesting. So the awards, again, will take place on June 26th and then the draft on June 28th in Nashville, which is on our bucket list, right? We talked about this.
We're going next year.
Okay, done.
No, we're going. We discussed this earlier in our socializing hours, and we're going.
Victoria sets my agenda. Yeah, you do. We'll come back.
Yeah, let's wrap this up.
We'll talk Flames, Jets. Most interesting free agent, too, this offseason. There's a bunch out there. So we'll dive into that and more. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matty Ashby.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiosh.
He is Ryan Payton and I am Victoria Matiosh, and this is Pucks in Seven. What are we going to call it? Hall of Fame edition? Off-season edition? Silly season edition?
Keep going.
All of that?
Free agent edition?
I want to call it Hall of Fame edition because that sounds okay. Like we did something good. Earned some sort of award of some sort, which is not the case, but we did.
Hall of Fame edition. Earlier, I like it. Yep.
Hall of Fame edition. In our earlier segment, we talked about those inducted in the 2023 class Hall of Fame. We're going to watch that ceremony in November, but we do know the names now, already looking forward to 2024 and who's going to get in. But right now, we're going to bring it back to the present because we are in silly season. It hasn't even really started yet because I suppose it really blasts open first with the draft because we usually see some movement, some trades then. And then, of course, July 1st, for some reason, the NHL still hates Canada. So they have to have this on Canada Day and ruin my long weekend. Uh-huh. That was the only nice thing for me about the pandemic, if you could even put it that way,
was that
everything was moved ahead to later in July.
Yeah.
But since I started at ESPN in 2007, I've always had to work Canada Day long weekend.
I've been with you. I'm like that too.
And when I had Rumor Central was a section of ESPN a while back. It's shut down for several years now, but I used to work there as well. And it would just be the crazy. So I'd work like a 16-hour long day on Canada Day when my husband and my friends are having barbecue and drinking beers and I'm on my computer. Anyway, so they still hate us and they want to ruin Canada Day again, but that's fine. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see free agency open up and see where everybody goes. We're going to get to that in a minute because there are some teams that have some decisions to make. Let's start with the milder stuff. We're hearing out of Vancouver now. Patrick Alvin spoke, which is a rarity in and of itself.
Yeah, which is great.
Yes, it is nice to hear from him for a change instead of the other fella. And he's made it quite clear that the Canucks would like to re-sign Pettersson. He is signed to one more year, and then he's a restricted free agent next summer. But it sounds like they'd like to get something done before that's even a discussion.
Well, they have no choice. I've said, and last year was a bit of a gong show early on, the whole Bruce Boudreau situation, Alvin then coming out, or Rutherford coming out and saying Patrick Alvin's going to be the one talking from now on, talk it all. You know, we talked about Bruce and how bad that was, and things weren't the best in Vancouver over the course of the season. But I did think that two untouchables on the team, and you can maybe put Thatcher Demko in there too, but two untouchables were Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson. Those are the untouchables for me. Everybody else, you can do whatever you want. So 1 year left, 7.35. According to Alvin, he said they're going to sit down when the time's right. They've had ongoing conversations since Alvin was hired in 2022. So it's been well over a year and a half that they have had ongoing conversations. They have to do this. The question is what's that contract going to look like? If you're coming off a 3 year at 22.2, I believe it was, what's that contract going to look like? This guy, he's young, 24. He has the makings of being a real stud in the NHL. I don't think he is quite yet. I think you put him on a different team, the numbers would elevate a bit more. What type of contract do you think that's going to be? Besser?
It's going to be more.
JT Miller's at 8. Besser is at 6.65. Is Pettersson going to be 8.5, 9? Is that where it's going to be? I would assume it would have to be more than JT Miller.
If you're promising this guy that you're now going to build a winning team, because they're going to have to convince him of that as well. All right? Because he wants to play for a winner. I think he likes being in Vancouver well enough, but that team is not built to win right now. So they're going to have to make some promises to him that this is what we're going to do. And maybe that involves moving Brock Besser, getting something back, retooling this, retooling that, because they just don't have the personnel right now to win.
No, they don't.
So there's going to have to be that commitment has to be made to him for sure. And then, of course, there is the number, as you bring up. Is it 8.5? Is it 9? Because how do they jam that in and improve the team otherwise to give him the team he wants to play for?
And as of right now, they have just south of 7 in cap space, just south of 6.8 and change in cap space as of this moment we're doing this.
So they have to move Brock Besser.
I was going to that. They signed Kuzmenko to that deal. I think that was a good deal. Good player.
I think that's a bargain.
Yeah.
I think he's an excellent player. What's so, 5.5, I think?
Yeah. I think it's less than that. I want to say it's 5.5. There you go.
Yep.
So 5.5, and then Besser has 2 years left at 6.65. Why not dangle him? Why not dangle that asset you have? I would. Because Vancouver, to your point, Vancouver is not going to take leaps next year. I thought they were going to do it this past season. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it next season.
I wonder if there's a market for him, though, because that is a hefty price tag for Besser.
Yeah.
He's not. He hasn't been playing well since his early stages of his career. He was great.
Yeah.
And it's just we haven't seen it from him since. And if you look at 6.65 is not pennies, man. You got to find some space to move a player like that onto your team. And I know he is still young himself. He's only 26 years old. And you can have a couple of shoddy seasons and you can come out of it. But I really wonder if there's much of a market for him, because I think maybe he already would have been moved if there was. And he hasn't been.
I will give Vancouver credit with this one. When they bought out OEL's contract.
Yeah.
So rather than paying him 18 and a half in the next 2 years, they're going to be saving almost 10. The 8-year contract buyout is going to cost almost 20, but they're saving 10. So there you go. You add that to the mix and all that type of thing. And that was their mistake. They knew that was a mistake, and that was the way to get out of the mistake with that contract and with that whole thing with Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Anyway, Vancouver. What about the Flames? How are we doing? Who's going to play next season on the Calgary Flames?
This has really taken a turn, and a surprising one for me. Now, especially after they fired Daryl Sutter, they hired Ryan Huska, and now they basically are telling their players, we heard you, we listened to you, we are now going to steer the ship in a different direction coaching-wise, which I would have expected they would have liked to hear, and now we hear everybody wants out.
Yeah.
Now, this is through insiders, through TSN and ESPN and the NHL Network and all the rest of it. We haven't heard this from the players personally, but Tyler Toffoli has asked for a trade.
Yep.
Michael Backlund has said, who's been there forever, so you would think if there's somebody who would like to stick around and see this one through, it would be him. His contract is expiring at the end of next season. He's like, how about you move me now, because I don't know if I want to be here anymore. Noah Hanifin is asking to leave. Same thing, 1 year left on his contract. And the big one, again, 1 year left, Lindholm, their top center. When your top center wants to leave, you are in trouble. Seriously.
Yeah. Are they going to call Lanny McDonald? I know he's supposed to get the Hall of Fame, but are you going to come back? Mike Vernon, is he going to come back?
Yeah.
Listen.
Markstrom is actually signed for a few more years.
Yeah,
they're okay in net.
Well,
that's about
Vernon could be a backup. Yeah, maybe. But this is really intriguing. It really is. And you mentioned Daryl Sutter. I know that we had some discussions about him over the course of the year. I thought that he was a real issue with the team. But now you have these core players. It's not just one or two. Kadri's okay. Huberdeau's okay. But now all these other ones are – the only one you have outside of that is getting a decent amount of money is Blake Coleman through 26-27. Huberdeau, 10.5, that's a massive contract. Kadri signed through whatever. Mangiapane signed a couple more seasons as well. But what does it tell you, though? What does that tell you when these players – it's like Winnipeg. We'll get into Winnipeg in a second. But what does it tell you when these players say, you know what, we don't want to re-sign here? If you don't, then I would be on these four guys right away and say, okay, I think there's a trade market for you. Contracts are pretty good. You don't have a ton of term left on them. So let's try to dangle. Let's get some assets back. I wouldn't wait on this. If somebody called me, if Toffoli said, look, I don't feel like resigning.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
Tyler Toffoli is gone.
Any of these four guys called me and I was the GM. Okay, fine. Thank you. We're going to see what we can do to better our team. That's what I do.
First things first, Craig Conroy has to talk to all of them.
Of course.
Right? I mean, so because he also has to ask them why. There's this disinterest, is it the quality of the team is good? The Flames are a good hockey team.
Yeah.
They could have been a playoff contender.
That's all why this makes no sense.
That's right. All those one goal losses this year, they could have easily made it in the playoffs if they had won four or five of them. All right. So this is a good hockey team that stumbled under a coach that didn't fit them last year. So is it the Canadian market? Do these guys want to play in the States? Is it something to do with that? But it's a great hockey market. Do they just not want to play in Canada? Is there something about the tax situation? I wonder what else is going on here, because I think Tyler Toffoli's gone. That's absolutely guaranteed. He's going to talk to the rest of them, starting with Lindholm, because that's a big conversation.
That's huge.
How do you replace him?
Yeah.
Those top centers do not grow on trees.
No.
He's an integral part of that team.
A great point, because it's one thing to think about trading somebody like that, but who's out there that you're going to get back?
They need to bring people back with term. This is going to happen every single, because this happened last season with Tkachuk.
Yeah.
And Goodrow going, hey, I want out, right?
This team is up against the cap. They have 1.2, just over 1.2 million bucks as of right now with the cap. You know that when Conroy goes to speak to them, he's going to bring his buddy Jerome McGinley down. You know, Jerome's going to be there too, and they're going to do what they can. This Flames team, based on this, is going to be a lot different, I think, next season. And so too are the Jets. Jets are going to be different. I think this team, Vic, the Jets, they have no identity. They have not had the identity was stripped of that team when they stripped the captaincy off of Blake Wheeler. That's what I think. And they have not recovered, and they're still not, and nobody wants to play there either. So what is it in Winnipeg? Hellebuck doesn't want to re-sign. Shifley's probably going to go. Luc Dubois doesn't even care about being there anymore.
He's gone. Pierre-Luc.
Who's next?
I think he's going to be a king before you know it. Well, they are working. This is actually a little bit more of a pleasant situation to me. I know as awful as strange as that sounds.
Yeah.
But Blake Wheeler and the Jets are actually working together on this one, which is kind of nice, all considered, right?
Right.
So, yes, that dressing room just needs a complete overhaul. I'm not even talking about the talent on the ice or the skill or any of the rest of it. There's a lot of broken parts there that needs to be fixed, and it starts starting with the former captain. He wants to play somewhere else. I think he has played his last game as a Winnipeg Jet. We can say that about Pierre-Luc Dubois as well. We know those two are done. It's Shifley and it's the goalie that we now, Hellebuck, that we now need to wonder about. So,
they're both gone too. They're both gone as well.
Really?
Yeah, they're both gone as well.
I don't know what you do in net. You have a Vezina candidate perennially in net and it's keeping you in games and...
That's fine, but you have, he's going into his final year and he says he doesn't want to re-sign long-term. So if you keep him and you let him go to free agency, knowing that he has no interest in signing, you're going to get nothing for him. And you could get something or some pieces for Connor Hellebuck. Yeah, take a step back, find another goalie maybe. I don't know, but you can't let somebody like that go.
I gamble on it, Ryan. I gamble on it and I take the year and I hope to convince them. I do. I just, again, you want to talk about top line centers not growing on trees. I don't know where you find a netminder. Sorokin's not leaving the island.
No, right? I know. We'll get into the top UFAs in a second, but let me ask you this then. If, say, the list was going to Cheveldayoff off, the list was Shifley, Wheeler, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Connor Hellebuck. What's the priority of those four?
Oh, it's a goaltender. It's not even a question.
Okay.
It's a goaltender.
So then the goaltender, if you move the other ones, then Winnipeg would not have much of a chance. Doesn't matter who they get back, even with Hellebuck in goal to, I think, do well next season. But if you move the goalie, then you get somebody back, that then you build the team. So I think Hellebuck's going to go. I really do. And plus, he wants to sign long-term in New Jersey, wants to sign long-term in other places like that. Get him out of there.
It's going to be interesting. But at least the Wheeler situation feels really civilized right now. They're working together to see. I mean, it's going to be a buyout or it's going to be a trade or it's going to be a trade and a buyout. It's something is happening and it's going to happen in the next week or so because the buyout window is closing next Friday. So I'm very interested to see where he ends up. Very interested to see what role he accepts with another team because he's no longer big guy on campus. Those days are done.
He's 36 as well. He's 36.
He's turning 37 soon. I believe. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But anyway, he's slowing down. This is not Joe Pavelski 2.0. He is He's going to be 37 when he plays next year.
Yeah.
So he has slowed down. He's not the player he used to be. So he's not going to be a top line winger. He's just not. That's not who he is anymore. So he's going to have to accept, first of all, a smaller contract, right? He's not getting paid $8 million anymore. Not even a fraction of that.
He's
going to have to accept a role on a third line, not a fourth line probably, but on a third line as a depth piece, somebody who just sits there, keeps his mouth shut. He's a teammate now. He's not a leader anymore because he's going to be sliding into a new scene altogether, and he's going to have to accept that situation. So it's going to be very interesting to me, not only how the Jets move him, but where he actually ends up, because his NHL career is not over. So.
No, I agree. He can still do something with the team and be somewhat productive with the team on a much less contractually favorable term and contract for him. Yeah.
Pennies on the dollar, Ryan. Pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. So this one's interesting. Commissioner Gary Bettman came out and he said that NHL teams won't wear special jerseys for pregame warmups during themed night next season. a result of a handful of players refusing to use the rainbow-colored pride jerseys this past season and causing unwelcome distractions. All 32 teams held pride, or hockey is for everyone night. And there was some individual who was interviewed from the You Can Play organization, and they said, "We're concerned and disappointed by this. Today's decision means over 95% of those who chose to wear a pride jersey to support the community will now not get a chance to do so."
I like Akeem Alou's statement on Twitter. "Absolutely shameful of the NHL as always. This is the epitome of bowing down to hate. You pretend to care for diversity and social causes, but everybody knows you don't. So BHM, Pride, Indigenous, Hockey Fights, Cancer Nights, to name a few, are not as important as a few bigots spewing hate." That is word for word.
It's powerful.
Walk in stride with him on that. I think this is a very cowardly move. I'm very disappointed. I understand the difficulties of having a few players that have an issue with this, and then it becomes a large talking point. You and I talked about this throughout the season when some players would come out and refuse to wear the rainbow colored jerseys in warm up, and it does, and it did distract from the game.
It
too
did.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Those are discussions we need to have.
Yep.
Sorry. So anyways, it is, I am very disappointed by this. I'm not surprised, and it's going to make things a lot smoother. And all I can hope for now is a lot of players who do support inclusion will bring it upon themselves and do things individually to speak out and make sure that everybody feels welcome in this game, because not everybody does.
No, and I do believe that that is going to happen. One of the things Gary Bettman said, which I mean, you listen to the words, he said they just became more of a distraction from the essence of what the purpose of these nights are. We were keeping the focus on the game. And then he said, "We're going to be focused on the cause on those specialty nights." It's hard.
Okay.
There's a lot of people have opinions on this. And I certainly know when those nights are going to happen next season, there's going to be a lot of discussion as well. Anyway, it is what it is, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency, July 1, officially gets going on July the 1st, which is not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. The list is intriguing. Goalies, forwards, defensemen, whatever it is. Most intriguing free agent this offseason. I throw it to you.
Number one to me is Patrick Kane.
Mm.
For several different reasons. First of all, he's not going back to the Blackhawks.
Sorry. No, I was just coughing.
He's not. I know you like that idea.
It writes itself.
Yes, yes, yes. The prodigal son comes home to play with Connor Bedard. Anyways, it's a very interesting narrative, and I'd be very intrigued to see if it actually played out that way. It's not gonna. But also, just because the experiment in New York wasn't great, but then we found out he was really hurt. Now he's had surgery. He's not going to be ready to play to start the season. So there's already that factors in play. It's not like he's not going to get signed by a team. Of course, it's Patrick Kane.
No, he will.
He has plenty of gas left in the tank and he can score goals. So that's not going to be much of an issue. But the team that does sign him, how much money are they going to pay him? Because they don't really know what version of Patrick Kane they're going to get because of the surgery. He is getting older, fit, all the rest of it. So I'm very curious to see where he lands. And I think that's going to be an interesting one, and how much money he gets and what term he signs for as well. There's a lot of moving pieces with this one.
Yeah, no, there is. And we'll see how he looks back in Chicago when that happens.
Ryan.
Yes. There's intrigue on the goalie side of things. You can get into that in a second. But one of the intrigues for me, and this happens to be, I think maybe not on the top of a lot of people's lists, but should be up there, based on what he did in the season, but based on how well he performed in the playoffs, Ivan Barbashev, for me, is intriguing.
For sure.
Coming off a two-year deal of 4.5, 2.25, based on what he did in the postseason, that is a bargain. He is, 27, not like he's 22, 23. He gives you everything. He's one of those, if there's a five-tool player, if that exists, I don't think it does in hockey, it does in baseball, but if there's a five-tool guy, he can score, he can hit, he can play defense, he can skate, he can do all those good things right. So this is intriguing. Back to the command and what he's going to command for a contract, how many years. And I said this to you in the break or before we came on, that the cap is expected by 25-26, I think, 3-4-4-5, 5-26, it's going to be almost 93 mil, and it's about 83.5 coming up in 23-24. So that's almost a 10 million difference in the span of 3 years.
It's a big jump.
So
and
do
it's
we
gonna
sign?
Change, it's going to change the look of contracts for years.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You said that probably more guys will sign less term. Because shorter of the rising cap. Yeah, shorter term. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on, you know, do you have the guts for it or not?
Right,
not everybody has the stomach for that. If you're offered a term with your team for 8 years because you're signing with the team you're already playing for, there's this security in that. Yeah. Maybe you're not making top dollar in year six and seven and eight, but you know where you are, you know what your life looks like, and you know what money you have in your bank account, right? So if you don't have to worry about injuries, you don't have to worry about something else happening. You don't have to worry about decline in play, all of those things. But I do wonder, but a lot of players do have a lot of guts, and I think we're going to see more 2 and 3 years so that they get to a point, especially for the younger players. Older players don't have that option. But for the younger players, they're going to bet on themselves and then try to reap the financial rewards of a larger, higher cap that we're all expecting in just, I think it's 3 years from now, 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah.
So there you go. I would love to see Barbashev re-sign in Vegas just to see if they could do it again with keeping the gang all together.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be very difficult. But if he does offer them an opportunity to sign a 2-year deal for whatever money and see if they can make it work, and then he can bet on himself again because he's a proven winner. He won a cup in St. Louis as well. He knows how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He is a playoff performer. He knows how to do it. And he says he likes it there. Everybody likes it in Vegas.
There isn't
a single player
who doesn't
like it there. So we'll see if they can make it work or not. Otherwise, another team is getting a heck of a hockey player.
Give me, give me one goalie that you're most intrigued for.
Freddie Anderson. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see where he lands. I want to see if it's Carolina.
Yep.
I wonder why it's not already Carolina.
Yeah, right. Well, both of them, Ranta and Freddie Anderson, right?
There's some decisions to be made there. And if it's not Carolina, I want to see where he ends up too. Because again, I think he's a goalie that we don't give quite enough credit to, often because he's hurt. But when he's healthy, he's excellent. He's top.
No, he's very good. Yeah, he's very good
when he's healthy.
I'm intrigued to see again, keeping the Vegas thing, Aiden Hill. Just what type of contract he's going to get after
that's a funky one, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because he won you a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, the sample size is still small, but he won you a cup.
But they also have other goaltenders who can step in there and play as well. Logan Thompson's going to be healthy next year. Like, what do you do?
Well, right? I think didn't 15 play with him this season? I think 15 did. 15, no, 5
it
did.
Feels like
it was a lot. Yeah, even Marc-Andre Fleury made an appearance one game. No, he didn't.
That was weird.
Anyway, going to be fun. The draft coming up, the awards coming up, free agency coming up as well. We'll come back to in a little bit and get you caught up to date on, I'm sure, what will be a whole bunch of news as we're into the silly season in the NHL. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash. Also catch us wherever you get your podcasts and on the SiriusXM app. I'm half a Bic. I'm Ryan. There's no game to say enjoy, but enjoy the next few days and the draft, and we'll convene soon.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.